right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. The juice is fresh, and we're ready to serve it, baby.
Yeah, oh boy, we got a great episode for you all this week. Thanks for tuning in, of course. We're going to be talking about a game called Slime Keep. A little bit of a roguelike shooter, twin stick kind of action. And is it going to be good? It's going to be the question that's on all of our minds. Because guess what? I'm on a hot streak right now. The past couple episodes, spoiler alert, if you haven't listened yet, I've been given a lot of certified fresh juices. Will Slime Keep keep the ball rolling? The orange ball rolling, as it were. Yep. But before we do that, we do have to catch up a little bit and then hit some news, and then we'll get right into Slime Keep. Matthew, what is new with you? What's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, it was the holiday this past weekend, Easter. So went out to lunch. Yeah, went out to lunch on Saturday with my parents to just like celebrate, because on Sunday, the day of Easter, we went to Maria's side of the family, had some good food, some good times. Fixed the TV, which is good. Everyone's looking at me as the IT guy.
Sure.
Because, you know, I clearly am I work in IT, clearly, which I don't. But yeah, so that was good, though. It was a good time. Been playing a lot of the Steam Deck still.
Yeah.
You know, exploring the emulation side of the Steam Deck with legally downloaded ROMs. And yeah, it's been awesome. I'm realizing the full potential of this thing. Been playing a game that I will wreck at the end of the show on there, which has been a fun one. It's been around for a bit. Play some Super Mario Galaxy, some Double Dash, which has been fun. Yeah, it's been good.
What the heck?
A little Ocarina of Time.
No.
Yeah, the N64 version.
The greatest of all time.
God. Yeah. Yeah, the GOAT.
The GOAT, the greatest ocarina of all time.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, it's been good. You know, I'm fully becoming like a big fan of the Steam Deck. Which, fun fact, I was not a fan of when they announced it.
Interesting.
I thought the controls looked stupid. I was like, why would there be two trackpads on there? Like that, it just seems so awkward to hold. And I was wrong. I'll admit it, you know, it's fine. It's totally fine to hold. No problem whatsoever. And yeah, it's a cool little device. So I've been having a lot of fun with it as of late.
I love mine as well. I wish I've shared the sentiment that the the buttons aren't a problem, because last week I played for a long time. I played Rogue Loops on the plane and I played for a couple hours just like grinding that game. And the next day, my whole hand hurt.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. Bad. Like, I couldn't even, like, press on things.
Oh, man.
So I was like,
well,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a long session like that, so I could see that maybe happening if I did. You played 3 hours of Rogue Loops, huh?
Yeah, I played. I was looping. I was roguing. I mean, listen. I also, you know, am known to cramp my hands around my phone playing Balatro. So, like, it was a perfect storm. Obviously, I still love the Steam Deck, and I'm planning on playing it a lot more. So, there's no issues there. My week was all right. You know, I played Flesh and Blood. There's a Pro Tour qualifying season right now. Went to go try to qualify at one. And I went 3-2, and then I bubbled out of the top 8, so I didn't have a chance. It was a little disappointing. I started off 2-0. That was very exciting, but I third round, I paired into a deck that I'm favored against, but my deck clumped up, theirs didn't. They got the win. They played very well. So that kind of set me on the path of not being able to top 8, because I lost the next one after that against a really tough matchup, and then I won the last one, but didn't matter. Didn't make it there. I have one more qualifier to play, and I hope I can do it. You know,
you can.
I'm just gonna believe focus. In you. I'm gonna focus. I do want to say, I mean, we did Easter stuff too. That was fun. But I was watching TikTok, the application the other day. And this was something that blew my mind. I was talking to my wife about this. I got a TikTok that was like a bunch of like clipped together videos of high school in 2010, right? The year I graduated, right? And it was like, had like a song from that year playing in the background. And I was like, wow, this all looks so familiar. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, it's 2025. If I were to watch a comparable video when I was a senior in high school in 2010, it would have been, check out what high school in 1995 was like. And I was like, oh no, I'm old. Yeah. Oh man. And she didn't like that one. You know, I made that point and it was, those were the days, I will say. But hey, listen, I still have some life in me left, I think.
Good.
I hope.
A little bit.
Enough to podcast, I should say.
At least till the end of the episode.
At least till the end of the episode. Unless this game sucked, then maybe. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
now, quick question. Sorry. Yeah. About Flesh and Blood, when you go to these tournaments, do you, when you say that like you have a favorable matchup, do you know the opponent's deck prior to sitting down and playing, or is it like once they start revealing cards you realize what the deck is?
So Flesh and Blood is pretty interesting compared to like other card games because you have a hero, and you know, in other card games like Magic,
They do that in Hearthstone.
Yeah, yeah, Hearthstone. Yeah. There's a couple. I think One Piece is kind of like that as well. Shout out Dan. Shout out One Piece. Shout out Pirates. I'm reading a book right now that I haven't not done with yet, but it's going to be a rec room at some point. But anyway, I digress from the pirate stuff. In other games like Magic, you would just sit down and be best 2 out of 3, right? And you wouldn't know what they're playing until you start playing. You're like, oh, it's this deck. And then after the first game, you can sideboard, you can bring in cards that are good against certain things, and then play the other game or two after that. In Flesh and Blood, it's best of one. So you, what you do is you sit down and you reveal your hero. And then you can choose to put cards into your deck that are good against that certain hero. And so that's how I knew it was a favorable matchup. But things just didn't go my way. That's what happens. Yeah. It's still a card game, right? You know, there's variants. You know, although Flesh and Blood is like very low variance, there's always going to be variance in a randomized deck, right? So it didn't go my way, you know, but I have one more to play this season. And I mean, it's for Singapore in July. I don't think I can go anyway, but I think like if I qualified, I'd be like, well, maybe I can go to Singapore. I don't need the rest of my PTO. Why not? Let's just do it.
Right. Yeah. So, just go to Singapore.
We'll see. We'll see.
That'd be wild.
But there is a pro tour qualifier at PAX while we're there.
Oh.
But the day we're not going.
Oh, Saturday?
Yeah, the Saturday. So.
Hey, you could always get an extra ticket if you wanted to. I mean,
it might be. I don't know how many people would play it. That's the funny thing. I can go in and like last year when I played that one tournament and just like wiped the floor with everybody.
Yeah. I'll take that card. Thanks. Appreciate it. That prize.
No problem. But hey, listen, we got a great episode for you all. Let's get to some news. We have a Discord, folks. It is sick. It's a great place to ask questions, to recommend games, talk about games you're playing, talk about video game news is coming out. Some news that we didn't put up here, but Oblivion is getting a remake that's coming out by the time you're listening to this. Already happened. Yep. Also, by the time you're listening to this, the Pope died. How about that? That's not a video game. That's not video game news, but
there's a correlation there.
There's a correlation.
Now we're going into Oblivion.
Oblivion. Pope died. Anyway, shout out Pope Francis. 88. Not bad, I would say. But another Crab's Treasure is getting a free content update.
Yes, it is, Tommy. So this is, obviously, if you've been listening to the show, you know, this is one of the games I really loved. That was definitely top of my list. What did this come out in 2023, I want to say? Maybe 2024, but it was definitely a top game for me. and it's a Souls-like. It's like as if Nintendo made a Souls-like, really liked it, and finally they're coming out with a content update that's free that a lot of people have been waiting for. New Game Plus is now included, so now you can play another run with the same character, but it'll be harder. So I'm excited about that because I can get that on the Steam Deck and I can play. There we go. Also, they have a new bestiary. I guess that's maybe a new area you can go to of all the maybe all the different types of enemies you've come across. Something like that, perhaps. A new boss rush. I assume that's a boss rush mode where you're able to, you know, fight one boss after another, which is fun. And then there's more stuff apparently, but I am very excited about it because it's just a really well-made game from an indie studio that is pretty small, I think, Aggro Crab Games, and they just like knocked it out of the park with this game. Like, I could see this, you know, being a franchise, to be honest, of like there could be a trilogy here of just another Crab's Treasure. So I hope they go that route because it is a really great game and I will definitely be hopping in to check out the latest update. But there you go, folks. If you've been waiting on it, here it is, New Game Plus.
Here it is. Very exciting. You know, I know there's a lot of big fans of that game. I never played it. Something I would like to play at some point, you know, down the road. There's not enough time in a day. So once we go full time, you know, yeah, I'll be playing. There you go. I'll be playing the crap game. Don't you worry. Nintendo Switch 2 US pre-orders finally got a new date, and it is right after this episode comes out on the 24th of April through their website. So you had to kind of sign up with your account, and there were no price increases on the console itself, but some of the peripheral kind of hardware, I'm guessing like that camera probably went up in price, maybe some other stuff. But that's good news that the price, I mean, like, they couldn't, right? And it kind of sucks, right? Let's say they were, like, let's say that was a fair price, you know, already. It would kind of suck to be like, oh, people are already complaining about it. So it doesn't matter if there's any amount of tariffs. We got to, you know, stick to it. But, hey, listen, we take a win where we can get it. I'll be pre-ordering it if they let me, of course. But I think they will.
Yeah. It's also, it will be available in like Best Buy and GameStop as well. Not really? Amazon, apparently. Apparently, no listing for Amazon was found, which is interesting. Because I got the Switch 1 actually through Amazon, so surprised it's not there. But another thing I did see as well is that, kind of tied to this, is that GameStop is bringing back the midnight releases for Switch 2. Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
For those of us that remember going to a store to buy a game, those midnight releases were always a lot of fun. I went to a lot of them at a GameStop, some of them at a Microsoft store, and it was a fun time to get together with some other nerds, get your game. You're all excited. You get home, you know, you're already planning to stay up till like 4 a.m, right?
Yeah.
You know, you took you know, you're not going to school the next day, you're not going to work the next day, whatever it is. So I think it's cool they're kind of like bringing this back, maybe giving a little opportunity. I mean, it's just probably for the Switch 2. It's not like starting when the Switch 2 comes out or anything like that, but maybe gives an opportunity for those young kids to see, you know, hopefully a fun midnight release and everybody's excited and in a good mood.
And it's a Thursday release, so you had to go out the Wednesday night. So I won't be doing that.
Woo!
But I remember those days fondly. They were they were pretty fun.
And midnight movies, too.
Oh, yeah. That's something I'd still get on board with for whatever reason.
But do they still, you know, I remember at a certain point, it was like, oh, the midnight movie is out at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well. Do they still do that? Where like if you go to a midnight show and it's like pretty early?
I don't know. I think like some like fancier theaters, like some more indie theaters will do it, you know, because I know my sister will go to stuff like that, but I don't know about like AMC doing it anymore.
Yeah.
But hey, I love going to the movies because I am terrible about watching movies at home. So I love the theater experience, getting that popcorn, getting comfy, even if it's a shitty movie, I don't care. You know, yeah. Then they get to talk about how bad it was after. That's a lot of fun. Now, speaking of bad or not, Slime Keep is the game for this week. It is on Steam. We had keys provided for us, but it is $14.99, and it's developed and published by Ben Bonk, a solo dev. In a world becoming corrupted by the evil Slime King, kill or capture various slimes to grow stronger and save Slimetopia. Venture through procedurally generated levels in this fast-paced roguelike if you're tough enough to not get slimed. Matt, do you want to talk about the gameplay first?
Yes, I will do that. So I actually haven't played Enter the Gungeon, but I've heard it's similar to this game. So if there's any basis for the gameplay, and actually the developer themselves says that they're a big fan of Enter the Gungeon, and they say this is almost a combination of Enter the Gungeon and Slime Rancher. Those who have played Slime Rancher, it's that game where you're a rancher and you collect slime. So it's if you can just kind of picture that from the gameplay standpoint. So you start out the game, you're this green little slime guy, and you have a gun, and essentially you're going into these procedurally generated rooms and this procedurally generated map and going into all these different rooms to either kill slime or to capture slime. Now, when you capture slime, you can bring it back to your home base, and you can deposit those slime, and then they will turn essentially into skill points that you can use on the skill tree. Now, there's also a day system as well. So once you do clear all the rooms, you either have the choice to go ahead and hop on a boat and go to the boss battle, or you can move to the next day. When you move to the next day, you heal a little bit for your character. Not all the way, which is something we could talk about, but you heal a little bit, and then you also get a different set of procedurally generated rooms, and you kind of can rinse and repeat that a little bit, allowing you to maybe upgrade your skills a bit, maybe find new weapons. You do have a pet with you, a pet slime that you can actually drop weapons to. You can also get different things so that pet slime behaves in different ways based on the skill tree. So that skill tree is for you and your pet. You can find shops in the game in different levels. You can find chests, as you saw right there. It will let you know once you've discovered all the rooms, which I think is a useful little mechanic. Now, there's not a lot of rooms, I will say. It's a pretty small map, I'd say, overall. It doesn't take long to clear all the rooms or find all the rooms. I think from the gameplay standpoint, I mean, it is pretty simple. It doesn't really have there's not a lot of choices you need to make with the skill tree, which to me kind of means like once you do one run, you're probably understanding how every run's going to go. It's not like you really have vastly different strategies for each run, because you can upgrade your skill tree in different ways for each run. There's not really a lot of branches of the skill tree. So that's something in terms of the gameplay where I'm like, there's not a crazy amount of replayability here. I did see some other commenters mentioning that as well. But I do think the core gameplay is pretty fun. You know, as someone that hasn't played Enter the Gungeon, like I said, I'm basing this truly just on this game alone and not trying to compare it too much because I can't. But I think the gameplay is fine. Now, you have the option, like I said, to kill slime or to capture slime. I do think it's... it can sometimes be like a little cumbersome to like switch between the two, even though you're just pressing one button. Sometimes I kind of found that like it just felt a little awkward at times. I don't know if it's because of like the types of rooms I was in and the way the enemies were placed, or if it's based on like, you know, I was just using the primary pistol most of the time. Maybe some other weapons you can pair it with make it feel a little bit better. Now, when you do go and suction up an enemy to capture them, it does focus on just that enemy. You don't have to worry about getting hit by other enemies, which is nice. I think that's a nice feature. But I also, I think, you know, I was going to bring this up in the story, but I just think it's a little weird that you're You either can kill a slime or capture a slime. Yeah. You know, and you are a slime, right? And you're trying to defeat the slime king. I get that it's slime keep. I understand that. But I do think that it maybe would have been more interesting if maybe even there were, like, you know, we'll talk about the art, different colored slimes, you know, things like that. So overall, I did enjoy the gameplay. I thought it was fun. And I you know, I pretty much look forward to doing like another run to see how far I could get. I didn't actually end up beating the Slime King. So I'm not a very good player at this, but I did have fun. You can see right now on the screen, that's depositing all the slimes you capture and they turn into those skill points. You get all the rewards there. So I did enjoy like the systems in the game. I think the gameplay maybe could have been a little bit more in depth. Would have been nice, especially with like a $15 price tag. Not that it's like crazy expensive, but I think I saw that Enter the Gungeon is also $15. And I know a lot of people were saying that that has more depth than this game. So, you know, people like to compare value by prices like that. But I did have fun with the gameplay. I will say overall, like I think it's a simple game that that just provides, you know, some time to kill kind of vibes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with the gameplay. What were you thinking?
Yeah, so I mean, I did play Enter the Gungeon quite a bit, and then, you know, as soon as you start this game up, you're like, oh, this is very much, you know, inspired by it, and they admit that. You kind of mentioned the going back and forth between killing the slimes and capturing them. It could for a lot of people, I think that's going to be the huge selling point or the point for them to like not really like the game, right? Because it creates a pretty interesting design kind of tension, right? Where you always the decisions you're really making. I mean, the skill tree, whatever, has some decisions, but the decisions you're really making in this game are, do I kill this slime or do I try to capture it, right? That is kind of like the like core kind of gameplay loop here that you're going to try to progress the game through doing that. And at first I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, but it does get a little cumbersome, as you said. And, you know, I felt like I never really needed to not use my pistol, even if I got other guns. Like, sometimes it'd be cool, but like, I never felt challenged enough to kind of like need a better gun, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I also felt like, you know, you have this button or a key for like dodging and like dashing, which like you could use, but like, I never even really felt like I needed it that much, right?
Yeah, move pretty quick.
You move pretty quick, and then, you know, it's not as bullet hell-y kind of as like something like Enter the Gungeon. And like, I don't want to have to like compare this to Enter the Gungeon so much, but they come out and say it's very much inspired by it. And you brought up the price tag. Enter the Gungeon is $15 and infinitely more replayable with a lot more depth, even in your first run, right? Where you can unlock new guns and new items and all this. And, you know, I understand this is on a different scale. And the gameplay is fun, right? It's totally fine, but it can get a little cumbersome. Like, when I play a roguelike, I want to be kind of happy to replay, you know? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like, I want, like, that kind of, like, I can't wait to play another run. This, I didn't really get that. You know, I died a couple times, and I'd play more because I wanted to get through more of the game. And each time I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of annoying. One thing I do really like, though, I will say, is the day system. I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, how you're going through these rooms, you want to respawn new or re-procedurally generate new rooms, go to sleep. You only have X amount of days to do it. And each day you do, the challenge gets greater. And there's only so many slimes, right, each day. So, like, eventually, like, each day is going to give you either X amount of currency or X amount of slimes to capture and use to upgrade stuff. So, like, that was a pretty interesting kind of decision-making, like, exercise in this game. But, you know, ultimately, I don't really think it stuck the landing so much. But, you know, I think maybe with some more variety, it would have been a more fun experience for me personally. But that being said, it's totally a fine game if you really like these kinds of games. And, like, and if you really like the capturing of the slimes, I think this is going to be kind of a winner for you, because it really ends up being the star of the show, because it doesn't feel like the actual twin stick kind of stuff going on is the real star of the show. So that's what I felt about that. But what about...
You
want to add something?
Yeah, just in terms of the capture mechanic, I almost feel like it would be better, just from a fluidity of the gameplay standpoint, to not actually have it as a second item or weapon that you're holding, because you're always going to have it on you. At least from what I played, I don't think you ever actually drop it. So you basically have to switch weapons, and then you have to shoot the capture device. Versus if you maybe just were able to right click your mouse, and it would maybe you have a capture bracelet on or whatever, however you want to do it, aesthetically. But maybe that would have made the gameplay feel a little bit more fluid, because I did feel like there was, okay, I have to remember which weapon I'm holding. One of them is a cat. There were a few times where I shot the capture device instead of shooting, or vice versa, just because I wasn't maybe paying attention to what I was holding. And we'll get into the art side of it, which I think plays into it. But I think that might have helped. And you make a good point about whether you want to, capture the slimes or kill the slimes. Because if you kill the slimes, you get the currency to your character. If you capture the slimes, the currency goes to the skill tree. So when you're capturing, you're okay, I want to use these as skill tree points versus being able to use it in the shop or something like that. As far as I know, that's how it works. I don't think but also, something I realize is that to get to the boss, you have to take a boat, and you have to spend 30 of your slimes, but with each day that passes, it gets more and more expensive.
Yep.
So you also need to remember that, in case you spend too much and you're not able to go to the boss when you wanted to, then you have to go through a whole other day of trying to find where the boss is. So I just thought that was interesting. I don't know if that's how it works in Enter the Gungeon, but I thought that was interesting. But you definitely make good points. And I think yeah, we can talk about the story now, Tommy.
Yeah, Enter the Gungeon works closer to Undead West, that game we played, where you'd go through and the boss would be at the end, almost like Sworn or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Where this was kind of interesting, that you can kind of choose when and how you want to, how much you want to spend to actually go to see the boss. So that is an interesting twist. Now, the story, very simple, right? It's Slime King. I don't even know how much story I even got from it, but it's pretty interesting. You kind of are this weird rogue in this world that's trying to get to the Slime King. It's just so weird though, because it feels like you're not the good guy.
Yeah,
when you're enslaving other slimes, I don't know. And then you put them in it, so you get these slimes and you release them in this little yard you have, and then they evaporate. So why did you put them in the yard? I don't really know. So it's a very simple story that just gets you to understand why you're trying to go find the king. But I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. I wasn't really paying attention to it, to be honest. I don't ever really expect a lot of story out of these games. So, it's the world building, I don't think, was really there. I mean, it's green. It is green. And but that's all I really got out of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think, I just can't get past that. Like, I understand that this Slime King, like, turn like the good slimes against you, mm-hmm. right? But I also, I don't understand why you'd be like, all right, well, I'm going to capture you and then like melt you down into skill points. Even though like, it's not your fault that you've had your mind turned. I don't know. I think that's basically how it works in the story. But you make a good point about the yard as well. I almost feel like, I don't know, it would have felt maybe better if it was like a machine you put the slimes into and then they like squish into like skill points. You'd be like, okay, like I feel like when you put things in a farm, you're kind of like expecting them to do something for you other than like die, maybe like produce something for you. That could have been interesting, mm-hmm. if you capture a certain type of like the wizard slime, it produces a certain currency for you, right? And then, the different slimes would produce different types of currencies, and maybe there were different types of skills in the skill tree that required those currencies. See, there we go. We can expand it there. So I think even like from a story standpoint, it just, I don't know. There's like basic things about the game that I just like, I'm like, I don't really know why I'm this character. Not that I was looking for a lot of story out of a game like this, but I think when we talk about the art style, it kind of like made me think there'd be a little bit more of a story, because I was like, wow, this is a really interesting art style. And I wonder, it's called Slime Keep. So I think I'm keeping some slime, which you don't really keep them. You just kill them, right? So just some weird things like that, that I think, might give someone like a different impression of like, what the story could be in this game. Or like, it just could be a little confusing, but maybe I'm looking too much into it, because it's just slimes, but it just kind of, that's what I was thinking. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes like when other things are kind of lacking, you're like, well, maybe I have this kind of like thing. It's just like also a little weird that you just have a house, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe we're just looking too much into it. But visuals wise, you kind of mentioned it. It is the Game Boy, like OG Game Boy, monochromatic, green. I think you can customize into some other colors. I don't know about, I'm not really sure because I didn't do it. But yeah, it's green. Little cute little characters. The slimes are pretty cute. It's, if you're into it, I think like you can definitely really enjoy it. I think I definitely didn't hate looking at this. It can be a lot of green, that's for sure. This is the more harsh of the colors that the Game Boy games would come in, but mm-hmm. I do think that it achieved what it was like seeking out to do, and it looks good. I would say the character design is not that imaginative except for the bosses, but other than that, it's pretty cute. It's like a cutesy kind of game, but it's not like, it's not blowing me away.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think, I actually think that the kind of like monochromatic, green look almost like hurts some of the gameplay elements, like the pet that you have. There were times where I was like shooting my pet because I was like, oh, it's a slime. And maybe that's just like user error and, but I kind of kept doing it. And like, once it like reached a point where even if it was just one bullet, I'm like, oh, it reached a point where I was like, okay, this is like something I maybe got to mention. Because your pet is a slime as well, which, talk about the story or whatever, but that also seems odd. That you'd have a pet slime, but you're also killing slimes. So anyway, I don't want to keep bringing up the story, but so that was like just something that from the art standpoint, it would have been cool if maybe your pet was something a little bit different or just like a different color, maybe something like that. I also think that sometimes the projectiles from the enemies were like maybe like hard to see. because it was all kind of blending in a little bit. That, you know, it was only a few of them that I had an issue with. But, you know, I do think maybe they could have a little bit more of a focus. I know, you know, we played Rogue Loops last week, and I appreciated kind of how the enemy attacks were like outlined. And, you know, you kind of see them coming a little bit, so that it's a little bit, you know, fair, because health is an issue in the game. You know, you don't really get a lot of health points, and like, you know, you can, it's hard to get them back, basically. You know, sleeping, like I said, doesn't get you full health. It only gives you like one or two health points. So if you're at like two, you're, you know, going up to four maybe, and then maybe that next day you get hit twice and you're back down to two, you know? So, yeah, so that's something that maybe I would change. Also, the openings that are on the ground, this is like a weird one for me, but like there's certain openings that actually, if you're watching right now, there's one of them on the screen where it you know, it's just kind of like, you know, this black hole essentially on the ground, but it has this white outline around it. So to me, I kept falling in them, and maybe again, this is user error, but I kept falling in them because the white outline would make me think that I could go up against it versus it being like a hole. So I think it would be better if that's just that white outline was gone and just make it look like a hole. Basically. So I, you know, I don't know, like, again, this is just could be me, but it happened enough where I was like, okay, why do I keep doing this? Like, what is going on in my brain where I'm like subconsciously thinking it's okay to go up against that? And I'm like, I think it's the white outline. So yeah, you know, I think the art isn't bad at all. I actually, you know, it's quite cute, like you mentioned. I think it does a good job with that. But I don't know. I would almost like, I get that it's slime keep, but like I've seen different colored slimes other than green. Like, you know, maybe add a little bit more color in there could be kind of cool. Maybe for like slime keep 2, something like that. And then one thing that I just thought was kind of funny is actually the boss that they're fighting right now. It's this mini boss you can find that's in a mech. When it actually introduces the mini boss, it kind of does like a, you know, an animation of like a closer up look of the mini boss. And I swear, this looks like the Pringles guy is in a mech, right? It looks exactly like the Pringles logo, but just in a mech shooting at you. So
shout out, Mr.
I call
Pringle.
This guy, the Pringles boss. So I thought that was funny. I don't know if that was intentional. Maybe the dev was eating some Pringles that night when created this one. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the art, which, you know, going into the game, I was thinking I was going to be a little bit higher on it. Because I was like, oh, it kind of looks cool. But then, like, it started to affect, like, gameplay things for me. So, bumped it down a few pegs there.
Yeah, yeah. It's not exactly like that game we played a couple weeks ago. Golden Warden, I think it was, where it was also kind of that monochromatic kind of feel. It just felt like it had a little bit more depth than this game. Now, sound and music-wise, I actually really enjoyed the soundtrack here. It, you know, it would kind of go from this, like, you would think it's like going to be some kind of cutesy song and then go kind of into techno when you're playing and get a little bit more intense. I enjoyed that. The sound effects themselves, they sounded totally fine. Nothing too crazy, but I did enjoy the music actually quite a bit. That was probably one of the more enjoyable of the kind of aspects of this game for me. So, big fan there, actually.
I'm with you. I think the music gave me like Game Boy vibes, like Pokemon vibes. I think that great job with the music in the game. I found myself just like kind of chilling in a room that I already defeated just so I could listen to a little bit more of it. So yeah, really enjoyed the music. Sound effects, you know, like you said, fine. I was actually looking or expecting a little bit more of like, I don't know, squishing.
If it's slime, more squishiness.
A little bit more squishiness because it's a slime like killing game. Especially when you like you have all of them in the farm and they just all like, you know, evaporate at one time. You'd think there'd be like, I don't know, a satisfying noise there. Maybe I'm being picky with it, but you know, it's leaning pretty heavily into the slime stuff. So I feel like I gotta critique it on the slime stuff.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Now, performance-wise, I actually did run into some issues. At one point, the keys just stopped working. Okay. I couldn't even exit out from the game, like, with the escape button. And I didn't know what happened there. So I had to totally reboot the game. And I didn't run into it again, but that was, like, weird. I didn't do anything. I was just playing, and all of a sudden, it just stopped working. Mm. So don't know what happened there. So definitely some bugs there. But what about yourself?
Yeah, I didn't have any, like, bad performance issues like that one. That's definitely, you know, something to keep an eye on. I did notice that it didn't save the resolution of the last time I played. When I booted it up again, it was, like, the wrong resolution, so I had to go back in and change it again. Not a big deal, obviously, but I didn't actually realize that it wasn't at the right resolution, because I'm kind of thinking of this as, like, a Game Boy game, so I'm, like, picturing it a little, you know, framed a little differently, until, I don't know, I played, like, 20 minutes of the game. I'm like, oh, this is, I could set this to be my full screen. So I did that. But yeah, that was the only thing in game. I did note down, I would love for this to be Steam Deck compatible.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it could be. I don't think it's a game that couldn't. I don't think the controls are that complex, but just would have been nice, you know, now that I have one, we have one. You know, I find myself probably going to be playing a lot of the podcast games through the Steam Deck, so would be nice, you know. And I'm surprised it's not, like, a requirement these days to release a game on Steam to make it compatible with Steam Deck.
Well, yeah, so, this one, yeah. I didn't even, I was all mouse and keyboard, so yeah. Couldn't even use a regular controller. So I always use a regular controller when I played Enter the Gungeon. I know some people prefer mouse and keyboard for these kind of games, but, you know, I think some people also prefer the old controller. Now, this gets to our final rating. Our ratings are as follows. Certified Fresh Juice, best games ever, Balatro, Norp Apologue, A Steal, The Cub, what else? Ballionaire is a good one. These are good games. Not the cream of the crop, but very good. We recommend them. And, you know, they're well worth the money. And then after that, we have Get on Sale. These are games like Wizard with a Gun, Hellscape, which we think have their qualities, but perhaps you should wait until, you know, it goes on sale, because it does have some things wrong with it at the time of release anyway. And after that, we have Manager Special. Get on a deep discount, or you're really into a certain genre that we aren't into. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, games that we don't recommend for anybody. I'll start. This is the most get-on-sale game of all time. I think there's plenty of qualities that we kind of listed, right? And there are going to be some people out there that are going to enjoy it more than us. I definitely think so. But on the other flip side of that, there are some issues that I think are a little glaring for me to kind of give anything other than a get on sale. And, you know, the Enter the Gungeon kind of comparison is real. $15 for that game, $15 for this game. You're getting so much more out of Enter the Gungeon. Now, I understand it's a solo dev and a lot of work went into this, so I don't want to take that away from it at all. But there are some issues, you know, in the gameplay. And, you know, the supporting cast of things happening don't really make up for it. So for me, it's like a low to middle get on sale.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking as well. I was going to go with on sale, a little bit on the lower side. You know, I think, you know, you make a lot of good points. You know, the game, even as someone that hasn't played Enter the Gungeon, I was still looking for a little bit more out of the game because of the price tag. And I know $15, you know, isn't really that much, especially in what we're hearing about, you know, $80 Mario Karts. But I just think that to me, it just didn't feel like a $15 game in terms of, like, the amount of content in the game. And I do think there's, like, opportunity for a sequel. I think, like, there's a there's a good foundation here that they could build upon, lean more into the slime aspect of things, that could maybe help differentiate it from Enter the Gungeon. And maybe it, like, try to introduce some like different systems, maybe something more on the farming side, since you kind of have a little farm area, maybe like some way to breed slimes, you know, if it's more like Slime Rancher, right? So maybe take a little inspiration from that. Could be interesting. But yeah, I'm giving it an on sale. I think if you like saw this game for like $5 to $8, maybe could be like a good pickup to like just kill some time with. But I don't think it's worth the money. So I'm giving it an on sale, you know, which, you know, not a bad score, you know, still doesn't mean, you know, we wouldn't recommend it to someone if we were like, oh, you'd be into Slime Keep, you know, like if you know, we saw it on sale. So there you go.
No, absolutely. And, you know, to hammer it home, I think like there are the good things about this game are some unique kind of game design decisions. Right. And I think it really comes down to the choice of killing these slimes or capturing them. Right. I think that is very interesting. Tied in with the day system is also pretty interesting. So if you're looking for something like Enter the Gungeon and you want to like get something a little weird going on, I think this is probably a good game for you, but otherwise you might want to wait till it's on sale. Now, next week, we don't really know what we're playing yet, but probably something really cool, or maybe another get on sale, or maybe worse. We don't know. If the juice ain't worth the squeeze, we'll tell you. Now, we do have listener questions from our loyal listeners, the Juice Heads, in our Discord, of course, free for everybody to join. Capolo, the question bot himself, comes in and asks, stealing the old PlayStation slogan, the best place to play, which is the best place to play indie games? Platform, device, store, yada, yada.
You know, this is a tough one, Tom. It's Nintendo. Actually, well, if I'm being honest, you know, because this is talking about like platform, device, store. I mean, obviously Game Pass is a great platform to play indie games on, but I'm finding the Steam Deck. I don't want to keep bringing it up. I'm just saying, like, I have, you know, obviously if the game supports at least controller, it should work on the Steam Deck. But I've like been playing more and more on the Steam Deck of games that I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I had this. Let me boot this up. Oh, this is like I'm falling like back in love with like games that I haven't played in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think like I've been doing that with indies on there, and I think it's been great. I would say like second to that is like the Switch. Yeah. You know, I mean, the Switch just has like fantastic indies and. They do go on sale like quite a bit, which is nice. And then the third, yeah, I would just say Game Pass. Like, just what a great value, you know. I've tried so many indie games on Game Pass. So if you're looking for, I guess that goes in like price order, right?
It's yeah.
Like most expensive Steam Deck, second, you know, Switch, and third, Game Pass. I think they're all really great for indie. So that's where I would go. And funny enough, none of those are PlayStation. So
yeah,
I don't really think of PlayStation when I think of like, I want to play an indie game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually always bizarre to me when I hear about indie game is like launching on PC and PlayStation exclusively. And I'm like, mm-hmm. why did you go with PlayStation? But, I would switch and Steam Deck only because I just find that I keep running into games on Steam Deck that like, and albeit these games are probably not on Switch anyway, but like it is kind of annoying to like get a game on Steam and you're really excited to play on Steam Deck and it just doesn't work on your Steam Deck and you're like, all right, well, I gotta play at the PC or whatever, but it is still great nonetheless. And then, I guess it's just Steam in general is the best store for all these indies. And you know what? I gotta give a shout out to itch.io because there's some cool stuff happening over there. And we honestly, we don't cover it enough, but itch.io is pretty sick. If you spend some time over there, it's a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Great question, Capolo. Bags comes in and asks, what is your favorite Mario Kart item?
My favorite Mario Kart item. Okay, my favorite item would probably just have to be, I love the triple red shell.
Right.
I just feel like there is something about, if you can time it right, hitting the same person three times in a row, that just is so funny. Because after the first one, they're upset. After the second one, they're like, geez, like someone else had a red shell. And then after the third one, they're just like, what is going on? Someone had three red shells and just hit me. So I like that one a lot. And then, of course, I like the siren as well, just because it stops the blue shell. So, like, it's always fun getting that when the blue shell comes. But, yeah, I'd probably just go with the triple red shell. Love that one. Tommy, what are you thinking?
The spike in me is like, I like the perfect skill check item. The perfect skill check item to me is a single green shell.
Okay.
Right? There's nothing more satisfying than just nailing somebody with those. Obviously, the red shell is better, right? But the cool thing about the green shell that it has that the red shell doesn't really have is sending it backwards is like a directional thing. I feel like the red shell just kind of goes in the direction when you send it backwards, and like you don't really have any control. So gotta go green shell. It's just so cool. Now, special shout out for a new item coming out in Mario Kart World. I'm all about the hammers that they're throwing. That's pretty sick. So
yeah,
I like that they added that. So great question, Bags. Getting excited for Mario Kart World, to be honest.
Yeah.
K-more asks, an age-old question. Oh, really good question. What would be your weapon of choice in the zombie apocalypse?
Okay, so in the zombie apocalypse, my weapon of choice. So, you know, you would think something with ammo would be good, but then you're limited, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really do that unless it somehow generates its own power. Okay, so my weapon of choice, well, no, that has limited ammo. Damn, never mind. I was going to say the Wonder Waffy from Call of Duty Zombies, because it can attack multiple zombies at once. It chains lightning together. That's a really good one, but it does have limited shots in it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it might be solar powered. Tom, you go. I got to think about this one.
So first of all, I love in this question that K-more says, what would be your weapon of choice in the zombie apocalypse, as if that is going to happen and not a zombie apocalypse. So appreciate that. So it helps me get into the zone, right? Like I'm understanding. I agree on the ammo thing, but the problem with like a sword, right, is it's still close to you and you can get bit, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think, like, a halberd, like, one of those, like, long pole, like, but, like, has, like, a,
just pictured you just, like, slicing zombies up with a halberd.
Because, like, a long pole axe pole, yeah. And you're just, like, you're keeping away. Problem is, if they do get close, you're kind of fucked, right? Mm. You got to be able to maneuver it. That's hard. Now, if this counts, full like, I don't even care, like full heavy metal armor with spikes on it, so you just like start running and just spiking these zombies. That's probably not practical, but that's the one that, like, when you have your Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid moment where you're like, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna go out in a blaze of glory, pop that on, like you're like Theoden at Helm's Deep. You know, like, you're just going out onto the bridge to like fight off these things. You don't know Gandalf's coming yet, and you're just like, you know, I'll go into your death. That's what I would do.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now if we're, I mean, like, if we're thinking like anything, okay, I mean, maybe like the Green Lantern's ring.
That's pretty cool. I mean, yeah.
You know,
but even that needs a recharge.
That's true. Maybe then what the hell else could I use, Tom?
What about a harpoon like gun?
A gun in Star Wars?
A blast?
Plasma rifle kind of thing that doesn't, you know, just.
What if it was a harpoon gun, you know, because they have the rope on the harpoon and you're like, all right, let me get it back. That doesn't.
Let me pull the zombies. Yeah, but I want to cook them. it's a good question. I don't really, I mean, I'm trying to think of like ridiculous weapons, you know? You know, from like fiction.
I mean, like a wand of sorts or a staff, like Gandalf's staff.
True. Yeah.
I mean, I want that just in regular life. It doesn't even have to be a zombie apocalypse, but
yeah. That'd be a good one. Yeah, I think Harry Potter would survive a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, easily. He's probably like Crucio Zombio. And then it's all done.
That's it. Yep.
That magic system doesn't really hold up when you think about it. It's like,
no. It fix your vision, you know?
It doesn't have nothing. There's no cost to learning those spells. You just do them.
Yeah.
And they're just like, don't do the one that kills people. That one's bad. We'll come and get you.
Don't say those words.
Well, it's just so funny, right? Like, this is a little bit of an aside. They're like, don't use that curse because the Ministry of Magic will come and get you, right? And, like, put you in jail. You're a murderer. You will murder them, too. Like, oh, come and get me. I already murdered somebody. Like, what's
going to
stop me now? Like, you know, you got
a few people together like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, oh, man. Harry Potter. But anyway, next question. Good question, though, K-More. I always love those scenarios. RCARP11, my sweet, sweet wife, comes in and asks, have you ever gotten so good at a single-player game that you love that you create fun little rules while playing it to keep it interesting? So, like, you're like, I'm really good at this. Or even it could be multiplayer. Really good at this. And you're like, oh, let me create a fun little, like, I'm only going to do, like, one kind of move or one-handed or something like that.
Yeah.
Like how our grandfather used to play, was so good at ping pong that he would just play left-handed. He was right-handed. And, you know, that was just because to keep it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I definitely do this for both single player and multiplayer. I think the first thing that popped in my head was Pokemon. You know, there's always like the, you know, like the Nuzlocke run and like different runs you can do with different sets of rules. So, you know, that's always interesting and fun, especially like, I mean, you can even get into like the modding territory, right? Where you're just like, that's to keep it fresh, you know, rather than you creating your own set of rules, you kind of download a set of rules. You know, games like a multiplayer game like Gears of War, you know, there's even like videos I would make where it's just like, I'm only going to use the sniper this game. You know, you kind of, they do that in like all the kind of shooting games. It's like, you know, these challenges of like pistol challenge and, you know, they only get to use a pistol or whatever. So I've done that sort of stuff as well. In terms of like a truly single player game, I mean, I know Pokemon technically is, but I'm kind of thinking more modern, maybe like Dark Souls, you know, like these aren't your own little rules, but you can like spec into a different type of build. There's like a bunch of different builds you can do, where you can just experiment with things. So I've done that, but those aren't really my own little rules. So, yeah, That's what I can recall right now. But I've definitely done it for like a variety of games, where just to keep it fresh. And you know, you see someone like Northern Lion or whatever doing it on YouTube, and you're like, oh, I want to try that type of run or whatever it is. So yeah. What about you, Tommy? What are you doing?
I'm pointing to fresh. He kept saying it. Yeah, I do this. I've definitely done Pokemon ones. I will do Balotro ones now. You know, Balotro, like games like Balotro and like Slay the Spire, with like their stake and an ascension system, it basically kind of does that for you on its own. But I will do like runs where I'm like, okay, I'm only trying to get this combo. And that's it. And that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to make it work no matter what. Or I'm like, you know what? I've never done a royal, or like a, not a royal, like a royal flush run. I've never done that. I'm going to try to do that. That's like kind of like a challenge to myself. Done that. Super Smash Bros. I like, if I feel like I am at least one of the better players playing in the Super Smash kind of scenario, I'll go random. I'll just like random character, whichever comes up, I'll play. Or I'll say, you pick the character and I'll play it. That's very fun to me. And I like doing stuff like that. It's kind of a little extra challenge, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's just kind of also stuff that just like happens like sometimes where you're just like, yeah, like Smash is a good game for that. Mm-hmm. When you play enough with a group and you're like, let's just start like making up our own, like only do players with blue shirts, or, you know, or like something like that, you know?
I hope there's another. I mean, I know that like he always says, Sakurai is always like, I don't want to do another Smash Bros. I hope there's one on the Switch too. It's too, it would make too much money. They can't not do it. It's a core item for the brand, you know?
Oh yeah.
But I am I never played Kirby Air Ride, so I'm kind of interested to play Kirby Air Riders by him. So that is going to do it though, folks. And bring us down to a little room called the Rec Room, where we recommend something, well, perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week? You hinted at it.
I did. So this is a game I've been playing on my Steam Deck. You can add non-Steam games on the Steam Deck. So I've been playing Pokey MMO more than I thought I was going to be playing it. So for those who don't know, Pokey MMO has been around for a while. It's you can go to their website. I think it's pokemmo.com, and they've got, you can play Pokemmo on PC, iOS, Android. You know, I'm playing on Steam Deck. You can play it on like pretty much everything, which is really cool. But essentially, what it is, it's a game. It's a Pokemon game, obviously, based on like Pokemon Black and White. That's like the main ROM you need to download. So you actually download multiple Pokemon ROMs that feed into this. But the only required one is Black and White, so that's what I'm guessing. I've never played Black and White, but you download that ROM legally, and then you can download, there's like Fire Red, Emerald, Sapphire, or Platinum, I think. So there's a few different ones that you can add together, and it kind of has like multiple regions in one, and it's an MMO, so you're walking around, and there's so many people playing, all walking around, they're, you know, Pokemon characters, and they have their own like PvP system, like their own kind of menu in the game. So you can, like, if you want to, you can battle anyone, you can trade with anyone. There's like a global trade network essentially in the game. And I, you know, I've never played Black and White, so I don't really recognize the Pokemon that well. But I'm still, you know, just going by type. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do a fire type. You know, fire flying is cool. But, you know, I'm not really caring too much about what the Pokemon is. But it's been fun. It's been a good time. And, you know, it's just really cool to also think that, like, I could be playing this on my Steam Deck, and then maybe I want to log in on my phone because, like, you know, I'm away somewhere and I just want to play a little Pokemon, or, you know, I could play on my computer. I can kind of play. It's like this, like, you know, since it's online, it's like saved everywhere. So cool idea. And it's also like, oh man, maybe if anyone were to join, like I texted the boys, I was like, I'm playing Pokemon MMO. If anyone wants to friend me, it's like free, you know, to play. It would be cool to be like, you know, there's other my bros are playing it, and we could like battle each other, you know, sometimes or whatever. You could play for like years, you know.
Yeah.
If you want, whenever you're into Pokemon again, just hop back on PokeMMO, continue to carry, you know, your character. So there you go. It's been fun.
I do love a little Pokemon run. I'm not gonna lie. I went back. I beat Fire Red. You know, that was just so much fun. And Sapphire, I love the Game Boy Advance ones. Those are probably my favorite, if not the original Red and Blue. But once it got to DS, I played them all. I played Black and White. I played Diamond and Pearl. But the sprites in the Game Boy Advance one were just so perfect. But Pokemon MMO is really sweet. I played it, I think, when it first came out a little bit. I definitely got to hop back in, and I'll friend you, brother. And I'll fucking beat you in a battle, man.
You probably will.
My recommendation this week is a album by Bon Iver called Sable Fable. And this, you know, Bon Iver is just one of those artists that is so good that, like, it blows your mind. You're like, there's no way that the guy's name is Justin Vernon. There's no way he's going to, like, 15, like, almost 20 years after his first album, still put out something that you're like, this is insane how good this is. And did it again. I would recommend listening to the whole album. It came out in like two discs technically, but the second disc just came out like a couple weeks ago. And I would say if you just want to feel for what the album is, I think I would listen to two songs. And the reason this album's so good is because he blends folk, like relaxing folk, into like really like relaxing folky R&B at some point. So like the first disc was a little bit more folky, and then the second disc is very R&B. But Space Side is the first single from the album that I would listen to. So good. And then I would also listen to There's a Rhythm if you want to get a little bit more of a feel for the more R&B stuff. And then it's just like good listening. And there's some features on there too. Flock of Dimes, Danielle Haim from Haim or Haim. I forget how to pronounce that band. And I think he's doing something with Lil Yachty. I don't know. But I don't know about that one. But that's not on the album. But yeah, Sable Fable by Bon Iver.
Yeah, I actually saw this album on TikTok a little bit. I guess before it came out, there were like some teasers. So I was listening to a little bit of it. Sounded good. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, that second disc was like a real curveball, because like you listen to Space Side, the first one that came out, it's like, oh, acoustic guitar, folky, kind of what Bon Iver is known for, like, you know, originally really good. And then that second disc came out and you're like, oh, this is like good, like R&B, soulful, good stuff. So
yeah,
check it out. But hey,
yeah,
that's gonna do it, folks. We kept our slimes intact for the most part. Next week is gonna be a banger episode, whatever it's gonna be. I think that's the one guarantee. They're always bangers, nothing but bangers. You can find me on all socials, mostly Blue Sky these days, at freshbudspod.bsky.social. But I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds, and I talk about a game called Flesh and Blood we talked about in the episode. Check that out. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. And finally, where can they find you, Matt?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Been posting more on TikTok and on YouTube. Been playing RuneScape Dragon Wilds, which is just a blast. So if you're interested in that content, I'll also be streaming it over on Twitch. Feel free to check me out at Matty Gorm.
Amen, amen. And as a wise man once said, make sure your juice